This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
Here's a line written more than 90 years ago. All grown-up playgoers should jot down in their notebooks the name of Anna Christie as that of a play they really ought to see. That's what New York Times theater critic Alexander Woolcott had to say about Eugene O'Neill's latest work after its Broadway debut in November 1921. But even though Anna Christie went on to win a Pulitzer, it's not one of O'Neill's more commonly performed works. That's one of many reasons why the playwright David Auburn, best known for his play Proof, which won a Pulitzer Prize and a Tony Award, wanted to put it back on stage. He's now directing a production of Anna Christie with the Berkshire Theater Group. It's showing at the Fitzpatrick Main Stage in Stockbridge through Saturday. And David Auburn joins us to talk about this play and his other work. David, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks a lot.
David, Anna Christie was a provocative play when it debuted in the 1920s. It's been described as the story of a prostitute's redemption. Tell us a little about this woman.
Well, Anna is the daughter of an old sailor called Chris Christofferson, who's a Swede and who's been out to sea for almost his whole life. And he more or less abandoned her. And she's been living with relatives in the Midwest in Minnesota. And now she's gotten sick. And she comes back to try to reconnect with her father on the East Coast. And we know, but he doesn't know, that she had to find work as a prostitute. So she's kept this part of her past buried. And she goes out to sea with him to sort of try to get her health back. And at sea, she meets and falls in love with a sailor called Matt Burke, who's been cast ashore after a shipwreck. So there's this sort of magical meeting that she has with this guy who immediately decides that Anna's the girl for him, and they fall in love. Of course, he doesn't know either what her past is, and the drama comes out of that conflict.
Let's go right to a scene from the show. This is one that comes in Act 3 when Anna, who is played by Rebecca Brookshire, is having a big confrontation with her father and with that sailor she's fallen in love with, Matt Burke. Would you help us, David, set this up by telling us what's led to this blow-up?
Matt has asked Anna to marry him. And she doesn't feel that she can do that because it would mean a lifetime of lying to him. So she said no, but she can't tell him why. And the two men get into a kind of tug of war over who Anna belongs to. And that sort of triggers her ferocity and her self-preservation. And she ultimately ends up spilling her whole story to both of them to put them in their place.
What's going on is if one of you's got to own me, but nobody owns me, see? Said myself. I do as I please, and no man, I don't give a hoot who he is going to tell me what to do. I'm not asking either of you for a living. I can make that on my own. I'm my own boss, see? So put that in your pipe and smoke it, you.
David, this sounds like a more modern woman than you might expect to find in the early 1920s.
I know, it's great, isn't it? I mean, the politics of the play are so surprising, the sexual politics. It's a play with one foot in two centuries in a way. Some of the plot and the mysticism and the romanticism seems to kind of come out of the 19th century. But just when the play is starting to feel like a bit of a chestnut, O'Neill knocks you over the head with these very modern, you know, at the time radical and still very progressive politics, especially the sexual politics. So it's a play that has a lot of surprises in it for a modern audience.
I want to read another quote from that 1921 New York Times review we heard at the top. Alexander Woolcott wrote of the play, "It is occasionally clumsy with a boyish awkwardness. It is cluttered up with the rubbish of an earlier play from the wreckage of which O'Neill built this one. Its last act shilly-shallies. Yet because it is crowded with life, because it has sprung from as fine an imagination as ever worked in our theater, and because it is wrought by a master of dramatic dialogue, it is worth seeing again and again." Now, given that strong recommendation, why do you think Anna Christie hasn't been more widely produced?
You know, we think of O'Neill mostly through the lens of his later plays, these late masterpieces, a lot of which were rediscovered or only fully realized after his death. And I think that those plays, Long Day's Journey to Night, Iceman Cometh, Moon for the Misbegotten, loom so large that some of his earlier work just gets overlooked. And maybe it gets sort of thought of as being overly melodramatic or being slightly crude, you know, but it's all worth another look because O'Neill was a master and he painted very delicate, very complicated portraits of people. And that's just as true of his early plays as it is of his later plays. They're just there to be excavated.
David, you mentioned the sexual politics of this play, which you feel are just as relevant today as they were in the 1920s. And I want to jump to a New York Times review of your current production. This review came out just yesterday. And Ben Brantley writes that the consensus seems to be that for a modern-day production of Anna Christie to work for today's audiences, it really has to be over-the-top sexy to get them to pay attention. But Brantley describes your approach as calm and clear and not terribly erotic. And he also has this really lovely line that says that much of the play is, quote, pitched at a conversational murmur that asks you to lean in and listen. Do you think of your play that way he describes it?
No, not really. Not really. I mean, I went into the production with a group of actors who I knew could bring out all the nuances in the story. I think that that sexuality and that passion and the explosions are there. They have to be there. That's part of what the play is. But there are other colors too. So what I hope we have is a production that takes you from those quiet moments up into the big climaxes and back again, so that you get all the colors, not just the hysterical ones.
Do you think there is still a certain shock value of this play for modern audiences?
To judge from the reaction in the house every night, there is. I mean, you get gasps, you get vocal responses all through the play. And I think it's because people don't expect the kind of sexual frankness and the feminist stridency that comes through and the power of Anna to set her own terms. You know, she's not going to be defined by the men in her life. She's going to tell her own story and be the thing that she wants to be. And I think that still has the power to move and surprise people.
We mentioned that this play is showing in Stockbridge. And as you know, the theater in the Berkshires has really been booming in recent years. I mean, there's been a lot written about this summer, the Williamstown Theater Festival debuted a musical version of The Bridges of Madison County, and that then went straight to Broadway. So what do you think makes the Berkshires such a great community for theater?
Well, it is a community, and you have a lot of people who spend the summers up here partially because they love the arts, and Tanglewood is here, and there are 3, 4, 5 first-rate professional theater companies. So the audience is self-selected for the area. They've come here because they want that. And then you have a community of artists who come back year after year because it's such a beautiful place to work in the summer and because they know the audiences are receptive and adventuresome. So all those things combine to make this a really happy and exciting place to work.
And didn't you actually have some Berkshire's roots in terms of your early professional theater career?
Yeah, I had a really nice arc here because my very first play was done in a reading in Stockbridge at the Berkshire Theater Festival, the same stage that we're doing Anna Christie on. And then I've gotten to come back now many times 10 years later as a director. So I feel that I have a real home here.
And David, as we said, most people know you as a playwright, but you're directing this play, and you did direct your early plays. But I read something I thought was funny, which you said, I think that the reason you directed your early plays is that you couldn't find anyone else to direct them for you, so you had to do it. But if you had your choice, you wouldn't want to direct your own shows. Why is that?
I really like having another brain in the room when I'm working on my own plays, especially a new play. It helps to have that perspective. And also, as long as I have access to the kind of directors I've had and have been lucky to work with on my last couple of plays, I'd be crazy not to use them. And then I like being able to turn around and go at another playwright's work and learn and figure out how that playwright is doing the things that they're doing, get into the mind a little bit of Eugene O'Neill or Tennessee Williams. I think I really benefit as a playwright from that.
And David, a question I'm sure you've fielded many times, but I'm interested in your take. Proof, the play you're probably best known for, closed on Broadway in 2003, so it's been a decade ago. Again, won a Tony, won a Pulitzer. I think it became the longest-running play on Broadway in 2 decades at the time. You were in your early 30s then, so that's clearly a huge amount of success at a relatively early age. Did that create a kind of pressure or a concern about trying to match that again?
Sure. No, it created both things. It created a sense of certain amount of pressure and a certain amount of, you know, is this too much too soon? But it also gave me a lot of freedom and gave me a lot of opportunities to do things like direct, like make some movies and things like that, that I never would have had without it. So I never expect to have another commercial hit as big as Proof. I think that was a once in a lifetime event, and I'm happy for it to stay that way. I knew that the next couple plays that I wrote, I could write whatever I wanted, and that there would be a really good chance that it would be put on, and that I didn't have to worry so much about having another commercial success. I could just try to be the writer that I wanted to be, and that's a really rare gift, and Proof gave that to me, and I feel lucky.
That's David Auburn. He's a Pulitzer Prize and Tony Award-winning playwright, and he's currently directing a production of Eugene O'Neill's Anna Christie with the Berkshire Theater Group. You can see that all this week at the Fitzpatrick Main Stage in Stockbridge. David Auburn, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thanks a lot.
Well, that's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.